thank you for your patience for the announcements. That wasn't too bad, was it? Sit back, take a couple of deep breaths, and join me in the opening treatment. We gather here this morning to celebrate life, to celebrate truth. And let's know that along in this celebration, that we accept every church, every house of worship, every culture, every faith, and that we extend our hand of friendship and unity to them, and that we recognize that we are already established in peace and love and harmony, and that whatever needs to be heard is heard. If there's healing that needs to take place, let's know that the truth is revealed so that healing is already accomplished. As part of the one mind and the one power and the one presence, that which we call spirit, that which we could call God, that which we call the divine, our connection to that this morning becomes deeper. We have a greater understanding of what that power is and what it means. Our intention is always for deeper spiritual realization, to have a deeper understanding of who we are and whose we are, and then our purpose for being here. So we know that individually and collectively, we are all here by divine appointment. We are in our right place, at the right time, engaged in the right and perfect activity. We are grateful for this opportunity. We release these words. We now let them be. We let them go. We give thanks, and together we say, and so it is. Our monthly theme is intention, the nuts and bolts of the teaching. This morning, the topic is this thing called you. As I was creating this talk, I was reflecting back to the early days of my own experiences of science of mind and the teaching. And I was thinking about some of the concepts that really blew my mind, sort of wide opened and transformed me. And some of the ones that I found awesome and sort of a newfound perception was that God is loving, that God is this creative intelligence that is everything. And that meant that it was the energy that was also in me. Then I connect with that energy through my own consciousness, that there was actually a power in my word, and that through my word, perhaps I was creating my life. And that there's a power for good in the universe that I could use. And then, of course, the one that we have all heard so many times, change your thinking and change your life. So those are some of the ideas in which we're going to ground or reground ourselves in this month as we look at the fundamental teachings of science of mind as applied to the needs and aspirations of humankind, to paraphrase our great founder, Ernest Holmes. We're going to do this by delving into the Science of Mind textbook, which is certainly available to you at the book table, and some of other Holmes books that really look at the nuts and bolts of the Science of Mind teaching. I'd like to set the tone today, and really for the month, by reading a portion of the foreword from the 50th anniversary version of the Science of Mind textbook that was published actually in 1988. And the foreword was written by Dr. William Hornaday, who was a former Christian minister and missionary, then became a protege of Dr. Holmes, and ultimately the successor at the Founders Church in downtown LA. And here's what he said in the foreword. During a period in my life when I was searching desperately for answers, I had an appointment to see Dr. Ernest Holmes at his office in Los Angeles. I'd never met him personally, but attended his lectures, and his international reputation as a philosopher and spiritual teacher was well known to me. As the time for our appointment neared, I began feeling slightly apprehensive about meeting such a person of such eminence. When his secretary opened the door, I saw a smiling man coming toward me. He was small in stature and very casually dressed in sports clothes. He shook my hand and said, "You must be Bill. I'm Ernest. Have a seat." I will always treasure the first meeting because I immediately had a very special feeling of complete rapport with him. We talked of many things, and our discussion was very frank concerning my personal activities as well as my beliefs and feelings about life in general. And finally, he said to me, "What I really want to know about you are the results of your beliefs. Are you satisfied with the results? Where are you going in life?" After a moment, I said, "I don't know." He responded quickly, "Something within you does know. So, together, let's find that out." That simple and thought-provoking statement caused me to ponder deeply, to begin reassuring my own values, and ultimately to initiate a spiritual search so rewarding that it has never ended. After our visit was over, he handed me a book and said, "I believe that you will find this helpful." The book he gave me was the Science of Mind textbook. It's our practical spiritual approach to life, which Dr. Holmes has described as being a correlation of the laws of science, opinions of philosophy, and revelations of religion. The result of his many years of study and research, it combines the wisdom of the ages with the essence of the world's great spiritual traditions, offering a universal key to well-being, which can be used by anyone, anywhere, and at any time. Here in one book was what I had been looking for. It was a practical, understandable spiritual philosophy, and it was to present me with answers for which I had spent a lifetime searching. As a minister and teacher, and of Dr. Holmes' philosophy since 1951, I know that as you read this book and apply the principles it describes, that you too will find answers and practical solutions to life's challenges. And I believe this will lead to the fulfillment of your innermost desires. Well, I read this and I said, "Wow, that is wonderful." And I especially like that final statement, which is a pretty bold promise. And it's one that I absolutely agree with, because that is exactly what this teaching has done for me and probably for many of you. The principles of Science of Mind are absolutely life-transforming, life-changing. If what? If you apply them. You can read all the diet books and exercise books in the world, but until you decide to get off your duff and get moving and make some changes in what it is perhaps you put in your mouth, all the reading in the world won't make the changes that you desire to make. So this stuff works if you work it. It's also more than just knowing these principles. It's a wonderful thing to have an intellectual sense in our head of what it's about, but it's actually now bringing it into your heart and making them a part of who you are. In his great book, This Thing Called You, he said, "You must link your imagination and your feelings with the divine presence which is already there." Well, it took me a long time to recognize that this divine presence was already there. I too searched and searched outside of myself, hoping, wishing that I would find something, some power, some presence, something that I could have a greater belief in than just myself. So specifically today, we were going to look at this thing called you. Yes, I mean the book by that name, but I also mean you. And this divine presence that has taken the form of you, this divine pattern that has manifested itself also as you. And my prayer would be, and my prayers are answered, by the way, and I'll tell you why in a second. My prayer would be that this will motivate you to to go to the bookstore and make this a part of your metaphysical library. And how I know my prayers are answered is I'll tell you why. Last week when we gathered here, it was New Year's Day. There were quite a few people. Most of the people were sitting on the side. And I said, my prayer is that next week when you come, that many of you will just sit in the center. Now, you've got to tell me the truth. When you came to the door, did they tell you to come and sit in the center? You could tell me if they did. Or did you just choose to do that, those of you who sat here? All right, I'm going to trust you just chose to do that, and prayers are answered, right? Okay. Isn't that interesting? Now, I have another story to tell you about this. Here's the thing about consciousness. It's the only reality, and there's only one mind. So an individual came to me this morning and said to me, after I said this last week, he said to me, I want to tell you something. I went to work today. They came in and they said to me, you've moved. You got a new seat. He said, so this must be something in the air. We're moving around. We're moving seats everywhere. And this is the thing about life. You know, we always want a new perspective. We always want a new perception. We always want change. We want something great, but we don't really want to do much about it. But just sitting in a different seat, just looking at a different perspective, makes everything in life different. So I congratulate you for being willing to do that and for wherever you sat. And I also urge you that next week sit somewhere else. Sit in a different place so that you can get a new point of view. Dr. Holmes said in this thing called You, if God created you after its own nature, and there's nothing else that it could have made you out of, then the thing that you are after is already here within you. The thing that you are after is already here within you. The only things that stand between you and it are the accumulated thoughts, beliefs, and emotions of the ages. But there is nothing there that has not been put there, either by yourself or by mankind. What has been put there can be removed. Now, this is the good news, isn't it? Because we all have habits that we would like to get rid of. We all have certain thoughts and patterns that we would just as soon release, correct? Well, I have a wonderful process for us to do this morning, and I want to illustrate this by taking you on an imaginary journey. Are you willing to go with me? Okay. Would you please just sit back and close your eyes? Get comfortable in your seat. Be sure that the back is supporting you, and just take a couple of deep breaths and just relax. Imagine now, if you will, a most brilliant gemstone. And let whatever stone comes to your mind just come to your mind. Perhaps it's a brilliant emerald, maybe a rich red ruby, maybe it's a clear and sparkling diamond, a deep blue sapphire. But let an image of an exquisite gemstone come into your conscious awareness right now. See in it its fullness. Be sure and notice its shape, its size. See it from all sides. See the light shine on it. Bask in its beauty and its vibrancy. And each time you look at it from a different angle, it gets more and more beautiful. And you are in awe at the wonder of spirit who created such a magnificent gem. Simply spend just a few moments drinking in its splendor. Now, I want you to imagine that your beautiful gemstone is placed by the side of a road. And there it sits, innocent and beautiful. And then cars start zooming by. And there happens to be a mud puddle near where your gemstone is sitting. And when a car zooms by, it splashes mud all over the stone. And then a little wind whips up, and between it and all of the cars whizzing by, the debris near the road, such as grass and leaves and trash, is all stirred up around the stone. And attached to the mud now is covering the stone. And this keeps happening. Mud is tossed up. Debris affixes itself over and over until there's nothing, nothing at all of the gemstone to be seen. And then someone walks up and sees this mass of mud and debris and thinks, this isn't very attractive at the side of the road. I think I'll paint it to make it more beautiful. So this individual pulls out some filler putty, some colorful paint, and some shellac, and it begins to smooth out and cover up the mud and the debris. And soon, sitting next to the road is what looks like an attractive piece of art. It's all shiny and nice. Now, take a deep breath and gently bring your attention back to the room, back to the sounds of the room, and then just open your eyes. You see, we, my friends, are the beautiful shining gemstone covered with a shell of false beliefs. Lots of debris that we have covered with a pretty facade. And while the facade is nice, it's nothing, nothing at all compared to the exquisite gemstone that is who you really are. Our task now is to begin to chisel those outer layers and discover our true essence once again. We could say that the gemstone is really the God stuff out of which each and every one of us is made. The dirt and the grime, the coats of paint are what we, our parents, our ancestors, our culture, our education, perhaps our religious systems, et cetera, put there. And that's our spiritual work. Our spiritual work is always removing these false coverings. I think the German mystic Meister Eckhart said it the best when he said, the spiritual life is not so much a process of addition, but rather of subtraction. And isn't it true that we are doing much more untraining than we are training? We are relearning rather than learning something new. We are more apt to be releasing than we are adding unto anything. A very effective way to subtract is to replace. To replace the thoughts of dirt and grime with the thoughts of a brilliant gemstone. And the reason I say replace is I don't know about your mind, but my mind just is not willing to have no thought. It has to have a thought every second, or it is just not very pleased. And then it has to chatter about the thought that it has every second. So in order for us to subtract, we must replace. We could compare it to a habit that we're trying to get rid of. We have perhaps a negative habit that we're trying to get rid of, but we replace it with something that is positive so that we're not apt to fill it up with something negative again. So in the subtraction of this, as we're taking these layers off, we're replacing them with that gemstone consciousness. And because we're all made out of this God stuff, this divine presence, whatever word works for you, then we have to remember that we have the power of creation. Of course, creation has already happened, so we're talking about co-creating. But we have that power within us. Each of us have that power. I'm going to be speaking more on this on the up and coming weeks. But Dr. Holmes wrote something in this thing called You. He said, Jesus had no secret teaching, no occult lore. He indulged in no weird performances. The truth he taught were few, and they were very simple. He said that the laws of life are repeated on every plane. The teaching of Jesus was that the universe is made up of love and law. God is love, and love is givingness. There's a law of cause and effect, which automatically compels us to reap as we sow. The day we cease to sow error, we will begin to reap truth. When we stop sowing hate, we will reap love. When we stop sowing unforgiveness, then we will be forgiven. And when we stop sowing fear, we will reap faith. There is no mystery here. Simple direct statements of cause and effect, and the inevitable necessity of good finally overcoming evil. The glorious concept that the kingdom of God, in all its wonder and in all its beauty, exists eternally, changelessly waiting our recognition. Now that's how powerful our beliefs are to create our lives. But the basic fundamental principle of science of mind and what Jesus taught is, it's done unto us as we believe. If we want to change something, we need to change the belief. That may not happen overnight, but I don't want you to be discouraged. And I don't want you to think that it's impossible, because it is possible to change a belief. It's just as possible for you to believe in health and well-being than it is in sickness and illness. It is just as easy for you to change your thought and to believe in abundance and prosperity than it is in lack and limitation. It's just as easy for you to believe in love and companionship than loneliness or separation. It's just as easy for us to believe that there is a power within us greater than we are working than to think that we just have to count on our own flesh and bones. We are not victims of life. We are creations. This is all very easy to remember when things are going great, isn't it? When everything's going great, I can remember, I'm no victim. But what happens when things go bump in the night? Yeah, sometimes we can go back there, can't we? It's like, oh, whoops, I slipped, I forgot. And we can feel like victims, victims of our circumstances, of our conditions, of our families, of certain situations that are taking place. How many of you have certain situations taking place in your life right now? I'll bet everybody. Everybody has something going on in their lives. I think that's what we have to recognize as spiritual beings. But I also think that's what we have to recognize in one another. That we are all here doing exactly the same thing. Growing, changing, self-discovering. And isn't it great once in a while we get it right? I love those days when once in a while we get it right. And how wonderful that we have and know the truth, so that when we don't get it right, we can still love ourselves, can't we? We don't have to negate ourselves. We don't have to get into self-condemnation. You can say, you know what? I'm going to get back on my feet and get it right next time. But I'm going to do my best. And even when experiences come our way that sometimes you can't even imagine how you had anything to do with at all, especially in creating it, we still have a choice of how to react to it. And that reaction will then determine our experience of it. We always have a choice to how we choose to respond. We can either react, which is usually automatic. We can sit, count to three, count to 10, however long it takes, and then respond in a new perspective and in a new way. Again, this is all easy for us to talk about on Sunday morning, where things are calm, where we have one another, we're in the consciousness of unity. I want you to be able to take this out on the streets with you. I want something to occur where you can still stand steadfast, feel strong and confident, and know that these principles work all the time. And the reason you're offered opportunities and experiences is so that you can prove to yourself that they work. There's no reason that we have to walk around living in division. There's no reason that we have to walk around agreeing with everyone either. But it doesn't give us license to call a war every time there's a disagreement, does it? I think this is a wonderful time for us to discover spiritual discernment. Jesus talks about it a lot. Ernest Holmes certainly talked about it a lot. And Ernest Holmes said, everything is curable through spiritual realization. Through the realization of spiritualization, everything is cured. Everything is healed. Recognizing that we are not victims is probably one of the greatest gifts you could ever give yourself. Yes. You have created your experience of your life. Yes, you have attracted everything exactly the way that it is. And look at it from a positive point of view. How many of you have bills that come to you through the mail or online or something or whatever? How many of you jump up with joy and go, yes, a bill to pay? I am so excited. Do you know that it changes everything? It changes everything that you do that. It's like, oh my God, I get to tie to the Department of Water and Power. What an opportunity. Because if I am given this, how rich am I? I have it to pay. And of course you do. With plenty to share, plenty to spare, and a divine surplus. Always look forward to those bills coming in because that's your consciousness of abundance. And then you sit down and you write that check or you send it by email or whatever you do and you bless it and you send it on and you know that more is coming back to you multiplied abundantly. Yes, that somebody was asking me earlier about the unexpected income program. That is what it's all about. You see, we just live in this pin dot. And we just think this is the income and this is all I'm going to get. That's it every month. And we get used to that. We get into a habit. We get into a pattern. But that's not so. Because we say every week, God is the source and the substance of my supply. If that is accurate and that is so, how will you know if you don't practice it? How many of you believe that you could have unexpected income tomorrow? You could go home, maybe you don't get any mail today, but tomorrow morning there could be something in your mail that you have no idea about at all. Now, I want you to start imagining that and thinking about that. If you need the unexpected income program to give you, to help you, please stop at the box there and fill it out because it's an amazing program. It lets us see how we can change a habit. We can expand our consciousness. It is very easy, believe me, I've been there, to think that it is only your flesh and bones that is going to get you through. We must remember we are not alone. We are not dependent on people, places, and things. Those are channels by which you are richly remunerated. You have a very rich father, and you are his heir or heiress. Start believing it and practicing it. If we can't believe it first, we can't receive it. If I do believe that in wondrous ways that I know not of, money could come flowing into me, then it will. But if I can't believe that, I have to practice my belief. And I have to get to what can I believe? Will I believe that I'm willing? I'm willing to believe that. I'm certainly willing to believe that. That's being honest and that's being truthful. Look, we want to sit here and pretend that you believe something if you don't, because it won't work. That's part of the problem with affirmations. You have to begin believing them. You have to have an understanding that this affirmation is changing something. And when we first start saying something, perhaps we don't believe it. But after a while, it starts to change. And that muddy water starts to go away. Pretty soon, this clean, pure water starts coming through. And you start to see that life begins to change. But not if we don't work it. And not if we don't practice it. And that practice is like everything. It's practice every day. Here's something else on page 22. When you buy the book, you might want to refer to this page. Page 22 in this thing called You. When the time comes that nothing comes forth from you other than that which you would be glad to have in return, then you will have reached your heaven. I'll say it again. When the time comes that nothing comes forth from you other than that which you would be glad to have in return, then you will have reached your heaven. When we are giving unto others the way in which we want to be given unto, then we will have received heaven. We will be living within the kingdom. You know, Dr. Holmes gives us some beautiful counsel on how to live from this gemstone nature. And this counsel is an excellent way to wash away whatever may be covering that up. He said, know that the spirit is right where you are. It's the very essence of your being. It is at the center as well as at the circumference of your life. Learn to sense this divine presence, every thought and every act. Let the warmth and the color of this presence permeate your entire consciousness. Let your thought be filled with an atmosphere of helpfulness, an atmosphere of life, of givingness, and an atmosphere of peace. Know that the doorway of opportunity is never closed. Know that experience opens up before you like a blossoming flower. Live in a continuous, joyous anticipation. Now, I would like to take Ernest Holmes' beautiful words of counsel and make that our final word this morning. So would you please close your eyes and just repeat after me. Take a deep breath. Embrace these words. Embody these words. Become with these words. Know that your word is power and it is creation. The spirit within me is God. The living spirit almighty is within me now. Spirit is the sustaining principle of my life. I open my mind to its influx. I open my consciousness to its inflowing. I accept it. I live in the joyous expectancy of it. I now let it be. And so it is. God bless you. Thank you so much. Okay, close your eyes. Take a couple deep breaths. Ah, we just rejoice in this celebration. And we're so grateful to be motivated by one another's energy, by this wonderful music that allows us to hear God and to be so empowered by the grace of God. We glory in this amazing celebration of life. As we move forward through the week, let's remember to celebrate ourselves, to celebrate one another, and to remember who we are and whose we are, and to know that no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the condition, there is a power greater than we are that we can use, and that we use it constructively, affirmatively, and positively. We are grateful to be blessed, to be here at this time, in this place, together. For as the rain cometh down from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it, and so it is.